Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdrastuytse. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangade. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
All righty.
Hello, welcome, welcome to Soulful Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green. Wonderful having you today. And I want to welcome my wonderful host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. Good morning, Naima.
Well, a great morning it is, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone who's giving thanks today.
Yes, we are so thankful for another year. Oh, my God. It's amazing. It just seems like it just I mean, it went poof or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It moved very quickly, didn't it? Moved very quickly. And I was like, oh, my goodness, this is it. We are done.
Yeah.
After Thanksgiving, it's down here.
That's right.
Yeah.
In December, and that's the end of it. Yes.
Yes. So I'm excited. We do are having our guest back on today. Sure, where she is, but we definitely want to, you know, welcome Miss Janine Bradford Lee back. She will be on shortly, and I think that was such a much needed topic to go over again and again and again. As many times we need to go over that topic because it is so surreal and it's happening even at this very moment. It's about that topic. It is so overwhelming, you know, on a daily thing. It's overwhelming how many people are affected by sexual abuse and also, you know, just abuse, trauma, you know, period. We have at the hospital where I work, we have a special area of counseling for people who have been traumatized. So it is, it's trauma is handled much differently than any other mental illness to be traumatized.
You know, it's interesting. This time of year where there are family gatherings, a lot of times if there is an abuser in your family, this can really be a trigger because sometimes they're there right in the midst of the family gathering. I remember Oprah Winfrey. It was interesting. One time Oprah Winfrey was telling the story of, you know, she had an abusive relative. And she had become, you know, the famous Oprah Winfrey with her talk show and everything and went to a family gathering. And there this person was talking to her, giving her orders, telling her, you know, fix my eggs and certainly all that kind of thing. And it's like subconsciously she fell right back into the same pattern of accepting this person who had abused her and all that. And inside, sometimes you're still that person even when you evolve into something else. But those circumstances can bring all of that back. And it was amazing hearing her tell that story because you realize a lot of people, if they have been traumatized and the perpetrator of the abuse is a family member, they have to keep facing that every time they go to a family gathering, if they choose to go to a family gathering. And for so many families, the whole dynamic is, you know, let's not even acknowledge that it happened, or let's pretend like it doesn't happen, or, you know, let's not believe it happened. And so that person has to keep facing the reliving of that trauma and the pretending like it didn't happen, but it did, and it's affecting them. And so many families have that that person that really shouldn't be around children, that's there, that has done things, and their presence can cause so much pain because we tend to not deal with it.
Yes, and a lot of families have those, I call them shadow hidden mysteries, because that's what they are. They're hidden, and, you know, they don't want to talk about it. They pretend that it didn't happen. And unfortunately, you have children that grow up into adults and experience that same trauma over and over, so surreal to the point where, because they never finalized it, they never got the opportunity to deal with it. They never had the opportunity to say anything to the person that hurt them, or, you know, none of that happened. So what happens to those words? What happens to those feelings, those emotions that's linked to this particular situation? They just don't go away, people. They stay inside of us, and they become toxic to our soul, and we get so sick behind it. And we get what they call dis-ease, leading to, you know, ramifications of sickness emotionally. I mean, it's amazing how something that you experience can tear you to pieces, you know, piece by piece, because of not, you know, again, finalizing. You know, let's talk about that for a moment. Can trauma be finalized? Can you move on from it?
What happens if you confront the person who abused you and they deny it? Does it make it worse, or does it make it better that you got it out, even if they never acknowledge it or give you the apology you think would heal your soul? What if they, you know, accuse you of lying and all that? Can it make it worse, or does it at least help you release the anger, the pain, you know, the rage, whatever it is you have bottled up, to be able to speak it to that person?
Well, that's the thing, though, Naima. You have to be strong enough emotionally to even face a predator.
Yeah.
If it's dealing with that particular topic, that particular, you know, subject matter, when it comes to facing the person that harmed you in some type of way, whether it's verbal, sexual, you know, mental, what have you, know, you have to be strong enough to face that person. A lot of people find it very hard to confront this person. They may fear this person, dislike this person, to a highest degree, but when it comes to confronting them, you know, again, you have to know that you're okay, you're all right, even if you don't get the response that you feel you deserve. But if you are not strong enough and you go there, then what happens is, yes, it can open up trauma back all over. Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
It can, because, you know, our systems, mind, body, and soul, keeps the count. It keeps the count of the emotions. It keeps the count of the evidence of the event. It keeps the count. So it's always there. It's not, it doesn't, when I say go away, that's why I said finalize. Because it never goes away, because it's in your memory bank.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? It's in your memory bank, and you can get triggered through your sensory organs, your sensory area of your brain. You know, anything could trigger you, a loud sound, a smell. I mean, it just depends. PTSD is real. You know, most people that experience trauma to moderate to severe have PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And it's because the brain is then activated subconsciously to this event, to this situation, you know, to this incident. You know, like a person that was in a car accident. And the car accident could be, you know, mild, moderate, severe, but whatever they perceived it to be. So when they get back into a car, they immediately feel those jitters. They feel uncomfortable because of the fear that's associated you see what I'm saying? It's the fear of imminent threat that makes one feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So association, it's what they call it, guilty by association, but it's association.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. When you have been abused in some way, like you say, verbal, physical, sexual, and the person is someone who is close to you, like a parent or a step-parent or an uncle or, you know, someone that the family respects, and you fear that either you will not be believed or you will be blamed. Even when you become an adult, that feeling is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what can happen, like you say, unless you have something else, and I don't know how people get through these things without therapy or some type of spiritual practice that repairs the damage to their soul.
Right.
But unless you go through something that undoes that trauma, that fear will always be there because you can't handle it. And, I mean, I had an event, and I won't go into details, we ain't talking about me today, but I had an event that brought me back to a moment where I had been traumatized, and I didn't realize what it was. Someone said something to me, and next thing I knew, I was on the bathroom floor crying and was in bed for 3 days.
Well,
because it had brought me back to something that just
pierced you.
And so it could happen. And I didn't realize that was a thing that was still there inside of me, that it happened all the way in childhood, but it was still there. So you don't know what pain you're still carrying that can be triggered, and you don't know that you're not healed from something until it comes up in your life.
Right.
So unfortunately, we're taught to suppress feelings or not acknowledge them or made to feel weak if something moves us to tears or whatever the case may be. You know, when you're ridiculed as a child for crying, then you learn to not ever express sorrow out of fear of being ridiculed, and sometimes you're really in pain, but you learn to mask it because of the ridicule.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we do that, as you know, we got several ego, what they call ego defense mechanisms. And one of those things is similar to masking. It's similar to not allowing that particular situation to get the best of us, you know, in that moment. But what happens is when it becomes an ongoing thing, like when we hold on to something due to the pain that's causing us, and people hold on to pain, Naima, they don't let go of pain. It's like pain is a keeper, you know? It's they get familiar with it, they get comfortable with it, to the point where they start justifying why they're in pain. They make excuses. They explain to, you know, why this pain is so comfortable. Oh, I'm comfortable in my pain. I'm comfortable feeling this way, you know. So the trauma then becomes so real to the point where it literally transforms your present moment.
Yeah.
Now, remember, of course, past is past. You know, if it happened during childhood, if it happened during your young adulthood, if you're older, let's say, for example, if you're 50-something and you experienced something when you were in, you know, your 18, 20, whatever years, you know, and it was so traumatic for you to where you still then are affected by it. And one thing about the inner child, because if it's, the inner child is just what it is, it's a passing thing that happened when we were younger that we thought we'd gotten over. And so when life happens, and because it will, and something then puts us something we experience, like what you just said, you know what I'm saying? When you experience something that you didn't have any idea that would you know, hit you so hard,
yeah.
You know, that caused you to, you know, your ADL, your activity of daily living to be changed in that moment.
Right, yeah.
You know? But because we are human beings, we are flesh and blood, we're nervous endings, we are all of the things that we are, but at the same token,
yes.
We have, you know, we need to be consciously aware, okay, is this situation overwhelming me? Am I in a position where I can control this? Do I need help? You know, all of the above. So if we need help, most people try to help themselves first before asking. And I say this so candidly, most people don't ask for help until they start drowning.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
They don't ask for help until they literally start drowning. And what does that mean, Dr. Dev? That means when you feel you've lost your momentum, you wait, and you know, people wait until that time because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want nobody else to know about it. They, you know, no one wants anyone to see their pain. They just don't. We want to have, like you said, that facade of saying that I'm okay All right? I'm okay in my pain. Everybody else can see, but they don't say, some say it if they care about you.
Mm.
They may say, you know, I think there's a problem. You know, I don't want you to think that I'm, you know, being nosy and think, well, are you all right?
Mm.
You know? Because you can't see yourself when you're in pain. Don't you know that?
Right.
I mean, when deep pain, deep-seated pain, soulful pain, you can't really
you can't see
yourself until you are drowning.
So what happens?
Until you're drowning. Oh, my God. That's.
So now what happens if a person has reached that point and maybe they're in a depression where it's crippling them? They can't work, can't eat, can't sleep, you know, that level of depression, and they know it is from a hurtful situation with someone. Would it be helpful to confront that person and just say, look, this is what happened, this is what you did, it was a horrible, devastating thing to me, not knowing how that person may respond, with ridicule or might even be smug, like, oh, I did that to you. I mean, you don't know, but if you're already in a low state of mind, you're already depressed, drowning, would it be better to confront them, even if their acknowledgement is not, you know, the remorse that you would hope, maybe anger, you know, how dare you tell me this, but still you've said it rather than hold on to it. Would that be better to let it go?
Absolutely, absolutely, because remember, those words have power, and the damage of those words holds more toxicity when they're not released.
Mm.
You know, and one of the treatments that I do is, it's called life cycle analysis.
Mm-hmm.
So when I do that, when I actually take a person through that particular process, what I do is I literally, you know, write down all the traumas that they might have had. And you say, well, how can you write down all the trauma? Well, some traumas are greater than other traumas. Some things are just disappointments in life. But traumas are those things that hit us with such an impact. It took us to a brokenness moment in our life. So those are the areas that I focus on. So when the opportunity comes to speak to those traumas, that individual, you can see their whole aspect change. Now, mind you, they're just standing there with me and them, and that's it, and they're looking at a dry eraser board, and that dry eraser board has these issues that they have to address. Because they're ready to finalize. When you're ready to finalize something, you got to speak to that situation. You cannot think something is going to go away until you release it with your words, your actions, and your behavior.
Mm.
It is not one of those things that you can cover up. It's not one of those things you can deny. It's not one of those things that you can pretend for long periods of time because you think you can. It'll work for a while, but trust me, you will get to a drowning moment.
Wow.
Something is going to cause it to happen because anything, think about this. When there's bubbles at the sea floor of the ocean, it may take years for those bubbles to come up because pressure is the one that's making them rise. What am I saying to you, for those who have been listening to me? If you are in a situation of trauma and you know that trauma is still surreal for you, it's still alive, and some people say, oh, no, I'm not going to worry about that. You know, that happened years ago. I'm not worried. You know, I'm not, even when it comes to visit me, I'm just going to repress it all over again. Even when I'm triggered, I'm not going to suppress it all over again. The more you push it back, the more you do not allow yourself to feel, release, and let go and speak to that situation, it's the greater it gets. Again, the bubbles are coming from the floor, the deep-seated area. comes up, you don't want it to turn into a tsunami. You don't want it to turn into a hurricane. Do you understand? I'm giving you a picture right now. Okay? We have people that are walking, breathing time bombs, landmines. Walking, breathing. Look at the news. Listen to, social media, oh my God, is full with it. Full with people just to the point of just exploding. And when they explode, they want to take everything with them. Because that's what a landmine does. It just doesn't kill the person. It kills everything around it.
Yeah.
So this is what trauma does to some human beings. I'm not saying specifically in your case, but some human beings don't know how to deal with trauma.
Mm.
And when things continue to happen over and over and over again, because they're cycling in their trauma.
Yes.
Literally. So what are they doing? They're literally, because it's inside of them, it's not been finalized, they're literally attracting these cycles. They're attracting it. And you said, is it their fault? No, it's because it's something that's inside, and we are magnets in the universe, guys. You touch a live wire, it'll go through your being, and if you touch another human being, it will go and it will touch them. We are live wires. So what am I saying to you? That all of this energy that you have inside you, that energy is toxic. It goes out into the universe and it comes back.
Ooh.
It goes out and it comes back. And every time the wave of that toxicity comes back, it is stronger than the last time.
Ooh. Wow.
And I mean, it is so surreal. That's why it's so important that you be self-aware and allow yourself to breathe through your pain. Mm. Breathe through your pain. Don't make the pain like it's not there.
Mm.
I don't care how it's obtained, through mother, sister, brother, husband, sexual crisis, however, domestic abuse, you have to face it so you can become strong enough to conquer it.
Yes.
That's the goal. We run away from pain, but then we sit in it. Wait a minute, what's going on with that?
Mm. I think maybe it's because we're taught that it's weak to be in pain, so we feel like we're supposed to pretend like it's not there.
Well, I tell you what, a good pretender will never get an Emmy or a Grammy, not in life.
Mm.
They're just going to get more pain.
Yeah.
The more you pretend, it's the stronger the pain becomes.
Yes.
Because it's not finalized. When you finalize a situation, again, you have to speak to it. You know, so like you said, if you can speak to the perpetrator that hurt you, and some first, you got to first forgive before you even go there. Because when you go to that person, you're going to go with anger.
Yes.
And that's not going to help
don't
the situation.
Want anger, because anger makes them defensive, which means they're not listening and feeling the pain they caused. They're busy defending what they did.
Correct.
Because they don't want to be accused. So, yeah, that's the challenge, is forgiving them before you approach them so that what you're doing is not attacking, because they're not going to be able to receive the message of your hurt. They're going to be busy defending the attack, which means denying that what they did was hurtful.
Well, you got to see from their point of view, because they're the perpetrator.
Yeah.
Okay? So you can't expect, I mean, unless that person has gotten an inkling of forgiving themselves and also casting forgiveness out, like, I'm sorry, please forgive me what I did to you. And again, that person that's receiving, the receiver, has to have the ability to receive that with anger, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no, you didn't. I mean, but whatever you're going to say, you got to say it assertively. Mm-hmm. Because if you get angry with it, guess what? You really didn't let it go. really did. You know what I'm saying? You didn't forgive yourself. You did not forgive the person that did it. You said, well, why should you forgive yourself? Well, think about this. I think forgiveness is on both sides of the coin.
Because sometimes
it's not that you did anything wrong. It's just that you forgive yourself for holding it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Not the act. It's for holding it
Holding the pain for so long.
Yes.
And maybe even angry at yourself. I let this happen to me. You know, as if you're maybe inside blaming yourself.
Right. And if no one, the thing about an act like that or anything of abuse, we have to understand there's so many factors that will lead to another human being violating another human being. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, the act of forgiveness puts a damper on, but also a strength in place. It's an anchor for that person to move on.
Mm.
The person that was the receiver of the pain, the receiver of the violation, for them to move on, because if they don't forgive, they can't move on.
Yeah.
They will stay in that place of unrest. They will stay in that place of victimization, which then is going to cause them to be a victim in another situation, because one victimization will draw another. It's just whatever's inside of us.
Mm.
It just continues to cycle over and over and over again. And, you know, we hope that before that person that experienced that victimization and that cycle ceases it, so it doesn't, if they have children, it doesn't travel in their children.
Yeah.
Because we call it generational curses. That's another word for it.
Yeah. Pass it
That's
on.
That's what it is.
Passing on the pain. We're going to take a break.
Yes, because our guest is in, she's here. So we're going to take a break first, we'll be right back.
All righty.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Provided basic soap, water, But as you get older, you're still angry, but when you start to study, you know, the psychological piece of it, some of that hurt and that anger starts to release, you know, because, like you mentioned, you have to forgive not only yourself but them, because it will weigh heavy on you.
Yeah.
So growing up, I didn't have that relationship with my mom because I was still so angry. And then, you know, my sister, she was probably about 10, 15 years older than myself. She had three kids of her own, and she left to go to the South Side, and she came back for us like a year later, and she did get me and my other sister, who was only 4 years older. And I was so happy because I thought, okay, we're going to have food, we're going to have clean clothes, you know, it's going to be different. And it was. We did have clothes, food, but for me, that came with being molested by her boyfriend.
Wow.
Every chance he got for years at a time. You know, you're living under the same roof, so it's, you know, sadly to say, it's easy access for him, you know. So for me, I was happy on that end that I was provided with food, water, clothes, and I was clean. You know, I wasn't dirty. I was clean. But mentally, you know, I was being touched as a child. So I would try to visit friends, you know, to try to escape it. And then when I would visit certain friends' houses, their uncles and brothers would do the same thing to me. So I had nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. So I just put it in my head that, you know, it'll stop soon. It'll stop soon. It has to. It'll stop soon. And it did. It stopped. And in order for me to cope with it, I pretended like nothing happened. Because I knew no one would believe me. I saw the dynamic of their relationship. He wasn't a good person. You know, he was physically abusive, cheating, disrespectful, you know, domestic violence. So I just knew that I wouldn't be believed, and I was told that no one would believe me.
Wow.
So when you're a child and you're told that no one will believe you by another adult, and you see the power that he has, you easily believe it. So that's another anger inside of me. So I grew up a very angry child, and that angry child grew up to be an angry adult. So I walked around life just angry a lot. And I had a child. I was a teenage mom. So now that's something else for me to be angry about. And I also felt guilty that I even became a teenage mom, because I felt as though, because of what happened to me, why would I even think about being sexually active? That shouldn't even be on my mind. So that now I'm angry with myself again as well. So I just grew up very angry and hurt, and I had to learn how to be gentle with myself.
Mm-hmm.
While I was on the road to forgive them, I had to also forgive myself, because I blamed myself for a lot. I felt like I walked around with a note on my head that said, molest me, because it was happening oh so often. So I blamed myself, because I said, it must be something that I'm doing for these different men to want to touch me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went through life, and you put something so far in your head and you forget that it happened, because that's how you cope. Because, you know, in the black community, mental health was not as known as it is now. And then you're told, you know, don't cry. You're strong. You don't need this. That's for white people.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have all this in my head. So now that I'm a young adult, it's a lot of behaviors and traits that I have to unlearn. So I just dealt with it because of what I was taught and what I was surrounded by. So then when I finally realized that I needed help is when I started to have children and become in a serious relationship, and these triggers just start popping out of nowhere. I didn't even know I had triggers, because to me, my motto was mask on, mask off, keep going. The more I stayed busy, the less I thought about it. So I would never sit still. There was no sitting still for Janine, because if I sat still, those thoughts came up, and I didn't want those thoughts to come up. Because if the thought came up, my emotions would come up. And I didn't want that. So I just kept going. I never sat still. I just was busy. I never really got any sleep. And when I started to see those triggered, I thought to myself, like, okay, they need help. Because I would get angry. And again, like I said, I didn't even know I had triggers. And they would just come out of nowhere, and I'll be fine. And we'll be talking or watching TV, and I'll just get upset or just start crying. And I'm like, okay, I have to get help.
Yes.
And when I started to see a therapist, going in, what you tell yourself is what you believe. Going in,
that's
I'm
right.
like, this is not going to work. Because of what I was taught for so long, this is not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I told myself, you're here. You took the steps to do the research, to make an appointment. You have to give it a chance. And the first assignment that she gave me, she called it the sinking ship. She said, you write your bad thoughts down, you ball them up, you put them in a container. It doesn't have to be a big container. And at the end of the day, you put the top on, and you can either dump it in the trash or you can even burn it. Here, Janine, go again. I'm so hard on myself, and I overthink everything. How is this going to work? Me writing thoughts down, this is not going to work. I'm like, see, Janine, I told you, you're wasting your time. You're going to listen to somebody say, write some thoughts down, ball them up, and that's going to make you feel better. How? But again, I did. So the first week, because of what I told myself, it didn't work. Because what you tell yourself is how you will feel, and that will be the that occur. That action will occur because of what you put in it. It didn't work for the first week. But that's only because I didn't let it work. I didn't allow it to work, and I didn't do the work. I participated in it, but I didn't do the work because I wasn't meaningful in it. I'm already saying it's not going to work. So after that first week, I noticed it was working.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing harder, balling it up harder because I was so happy that I'm like, oh, my God, this is really working.
Mm-hmm.
Like, had you sought out therapy years ago, like, do you know the type of woman, the strength you would have had you done this so long ago? And I was like, okay, just be gentle with yourself. You're doing it now. And that's what I tend to do a lot. I'm so hard on myself.
Yeah.
And it starts to work. So whenever I speak to someone closer, you know, a friend, a family, a stranger, I give them that advice, and I can look in their face as soon as I say it, they're thinking the same thing I thought.
Yeah,
and I
it won't work. Mm-hmm.
I say, you think the same thing I thought? I say, yeah. Give it a week. I promise you. Give it a week. And I tell them, tell yourself. Do not self-talk is so important. Do not speak this thoughts in yourself. I said, you're doing the same thing I did. For a week, try it without being negative and see how it works. So I started to do that because I told myself, okay, I'm going to tell my family now what I went through. And what I imagine what happened, and what actually happened was on two totally different spectrums.
Mm.
And that would depress you as well.
What were you expecting when you were told?
I was expecting a hug.
Oh, see. Mm.
One simple hug. An act of love. I was expecting just one hug, guys. One hug.
Mm.
I'm sorry this happened to you. I didn't know. I wish you would have told me. I played the whole scenario out of my head.
Wow. And that would have helped if they could have done that. But what actually happened?
I was blamed.
Oh.
I was told I was a liar. And everything that I knew what happened as a child and why I never said anything happened.
Wow.
And this is why people don't speak up. It made me feel like I said it, and I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
But I told myself, what did you expect? Like, sometimes you have to be real with yourself and say, come on, what did you expect?
Yeah. These people, they let this happen in the first place, what mentality did they have? They were conscious it wouldn't happen.
The child in me thought people grow.
Yeah.
People change. They're going to be like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, but they did. And then I went to the police station because I was on this healing journey. I'm like, no, someone needs to do something about this, because it's, I know I'm not the only one, and I know if that I don't speak up now, it's going to be way more. It already happened after me, I'm sure. They don't just stop at one. So I knew I wasn't the first, and I knew I wouldn't be the last. So I was really on this healing journey to speak up, because now I have the courage. So you get that courage, and you're like, okay, things are going to change. I went to the police station. Horrible. I was treated so horribly. I was told, if you don't have an old pair of underwear, there's nothing we can do. And that's it. And I just said it a little nicer than he did. It was a male. That made me uncomfortable. And he was so, I said, can I please speak to your sergeant? The sergeant got on the phone, and he was even more nasty to me.
Wow.
He already told you, there's nothing we can do. What are we having this conversation for? I hung up, and I just screamed. I just cried. I felt like I had been violated all over again. I regretted telling anybody. I isolated myself, and I stopped speaking to my family. I hadn't spoken to them in 5-6 years another 5-6 years ago. I felt violated all over again. And I told myself, this is why people don't speak up. But then I researched a list of symptoms and, you know, how are people who have been through what I've been through, you know, how they are now. And that list was scary. And I was so grateful. I mean, it was sad, but I was so grateful that I only had about 1 or 2 minutes. So then I tried to reconnect with my family, because sometimes we let loneliness reconnect us with people that we know we have no business reconnecting to.
Yeah.
Oh, you better say that.
And at that time, I didn't understand that forgiveness does not require reconnection. I thought once you forgive someone, you extend that olive branch and you reconnect and form a relationship with them. I was wrong. And I took those steps and I did that. I did that. So then it will always be an uncomfortable conversation. We could never really talk about it when I wanted to. And I started to understand, I tried to understand that part, their part. So now with understanding where they come from, I kind of down myself, which is a big mistake.
Yeah.
Because I didn't do anything wrong.
Right. It's still down.
They keep trying to understand my part.
Right.
And so I tried to be as empathetic and sympathetic with them to see their side and where they're coming from, and I didn't get that same. I didn't get that same treatment.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, okay, my sister, you know, no telling how she's feeling mentally, that she was with someone for so long, and he was touching your little sister who was a child. I can only imagine what that would do to somebody.
Guilt.
So here I am trying to cope with them, and I'm not getting that same treatment. And when I let everyone know, I wrote a book. It's helping me heal, writing it down. And they're like, okay, you know. And when it came out and they read it, the bashing started. I started getting bashed on social media, bashed on this, bashed on that. And it almost took me back down that dark hole.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, guess what I thought would happen in my head?
Right.
That hug again. Here's your chance to give me a hug again. You cannot keep giving people the same opportunities to hurt you.
Mm.
And here I was again, just looking for that hug. I've always looked for that motherly love.
Right.
And when I go to the top, I'm really close with women that are of age that could be my mom. I'm friends with women like that because I noticed and I told myself, I have a problem. I have a boy. I'm looking for that motherly
mothering.
Love. Or that big sisterly love. And I'm looking for that hug. I'm sorry. I got bashed bad.
Wow.
Still getting bashed to this day. And it's hard to not defend yourself. But I told myself, I wrote my book. I'm going to continue to let God fight for me because he does a better job at it. But I receive a lot of support. And I tell myself, you have to be conscious of the noise that you pay attention to. And when it's coming from your family, you know, I'm very transparent and honest with anybody that I speak to. I don't want that this is a cookie cutter, easy, one and done. I wrote a book, I went to therapy, I'm better. No, it's many hurdles. Like, the backlash that I received, I had to enroll back in therapy because I knew that it was taking me back down a dark place. And I knew I didn't want to hate them this time. I'm trying something different. I don't want to lash out. I don't want to fight physically. I don't want to hate them. I don't want to go tit for tat. I'm too mature for that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to pay attention to that noise. I want to pay attention to the positivity. So I try my best to pay attention to the positive supporters, the encouragement. And I had to tell people, do not send me any negativity that they say about me. I don't want to know what they say because that's none of my business. But again,
right,
you really have to work towards that because it's hard. Like, it's something when strangers talk about you. That hurts sometimes with your mental. People say stick and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie sometimes. Words do hurt us.
It is a lie. Yes.
And when it's coming from your family, that hurts even more. And when you know certain family members know you're not lying,
because
they don't want to get that backlash, they're not sticking up with you, that hurts even more because you're like, you know I'm telling the truth. You supported me privately, but you're not going to support me publicly? So that takes another toll on you. But I had covens that supported me that I didn't even know would support me. And that made me cry because they were threats, and they still put themselves out there, and they're like, I stand with Janine. She's not lying. One of my cousins said, I did not read your book, Janine, and say, oh, my God, this happened? Oh, my God. She said she read my book and said, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that.
Ooh, validation. Yes.
And because she spoke up for me publicly, it touched my heart.
Yes.
Because when so many people gang up on you, it may look like you're the bad person. So if you have 20 people saying you are this and you are that and you are a liar, this and this, and then it's just one you. To the outside world, they tend to believe whoever has the most people, the most voice. So that's where I was and that's where I'm at now. And they keep recruit people. They keep recruiting people. Anytime a family member supports me, they come at them with negativity and they try to get them to stop supporting me and they call me out my name. I've been called out my name by my brother, mother, sister. Like, they are at me. And my husband, he'll just hold me one day because sometimes there's nothing you can say to make me feel good sometimes when you're seeing your family just tear you down so bad and all you tried to do was heal. That's all I'm trying to do is heal. But I have to keep in mind, hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And my family members, my mom and my sister, they have their own hurt. And I'm not excusing their behavior, but like I said, I'm trying something different sometimes. I'm not going to return their energy. I'm not going to fight fire with fire. I'm going to continue to fight mentally and tell my story so that I can heal, but I'm not going to fight them physically or mentally and go back and forth like they want me to. I'm not going to react to that negativity. They're not going to get a reaction because they have their own hurt. And I know that. Some of the stuff they haven't spoke about and they might not be ready. I cannot force everybody to be ready to heal like I heal. And I understand that some people go through things and they deal with it a different way. So the way that they're dealing with it is what they're used to dealing with. They deal with it with anger. I've been there before. And again, I'm not excusing their behavior, but I'm not going to react like they're reacting towards me. I'm not going to give them that same energy.
Awesome, awesome. You know, you said several things, and I just want to make a comment. I hope this is not going to block everything. Let me see how this works, because I don't think it's going to be able to. With Zelda, she said, wow, awesome that you realized that you were angry at yourself and overcame it. Congratulations. Many are not able to accomplish this major feat.
Thanks, girl.
Thanks so much for sharing your journey. You are more of a blessing than you could ever know.
Thank you. And that's what I try to pay attention to.
And yes. So what I know it's almost time for break, but I want to really pull out some key pointers of what you were saying when you said every time you would go to another area, it seems like the same thing kept happening. Well, as a matter of fact, it was happening. Okay, did you understand what was going on at that time?
As a child?
When we come back from break, I want you, well, I know not as a child. I know you didn't understand as a child, but I'm talking about now. Do you know what was causing that? I mean, I know, and I just wondered if that was something that you did not have a clarity on or wasn't sure about why that kept happening. I wanted to bring some light there on why it kept happening, because the reason why it kept happening, because, again, whatever is inside of us, and that was not fine. See, you have worked on right. You have been working on your finalization. That's what this was. You know, when as you got older, you worked on your finalization. And, you know, well, we're going to take the break first because I know I can get a little long with it. So we're going to go ahead and go to break, and then I'll finish when we get back.
Yes. Dr. Debbie, there is a video backstage. If you pull it up, then we can see it on screen.
Sure.
Are you able to do
that? I think it looks a little blurry.
Oh, it might clear up once you pull up. I don't know. Let's see. You got it?
I mean, it's here, but it's blurry. It's not.
Tax are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me, for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willa Wilson.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student's need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willa Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Turned out.
I'm not sure either, but welcome back to Sofa Solutions. Welcome back to Sofa Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of the Female Solution. And we have our guest on today as well. It's Janine Bradford Lee that wrote this beautiful book, Against All Odds. So what I was going to actually address is that I saw as you were telling me, and I know it's way more to that story. Those are just bits and pieces of the childhood starting at age five and seeing that right when you thought you were going to get safety or be safe, then here comes another perpetrator, here comes another abuser. I said, back then when you were a child, I know you didn't have any idea what was going on. You just thought that abusers were everywhere, you know, and they are, you know. That's just the reality of it. But now that you, you know, are no longer a child, did you know what was really happening during that period of time? Like, what were the causes and the cause and effects of the cycling of abuse that you were experiencing? Do you know what that is?
I always felt like that abusers, they know, the people that they seek out, they know that they're running from something, they're hiding from something, that they know they're missing something. So, and like you said, what's in you would eventually come out. They know, it's like, they know how to pick them, I should say. They know that you're missing something or you're running away from something, and that's what they harp on in order to wheel you in or even to think like, you know, they know that I didn't have anyone in my life that will speak up for me or that will protect me. So they always say they know how to pick their victims, sort of thing. So I felt like because of what many knew I was running from without even actually saying it, because it was coming out of me without it coming, you know, without me trying to bring it out, they kind of seen that and knew that, okay, sort of say I was the perfect victim, I was the perfect person, you know, to violate because I didn't have anyone in my corner.
So, Dr. Debbie, I have another associate who said the same thing in terms of she'd been abused, and she said it was like she was a magnet for abusers. It's like she could go into a place and somehow victimizers would hone in on her. Like she's saying, same thing that Janine says, like I had a sign on my forehead, abuse me. It's like she was attracting that. She didn't know how, but so what is that? Is that a vibration that you're projecting? What is it that causes a person who's been abused to keep getting abused? What's happening vibrationally or whatever that makes that happen?
Right, yeah, there's a transference of energy. Anytime there is, you know, energy can either be negative or positive, you know what I'm saying? So the negative energy that is experienced when one goes through a trauma of such seriousness as this is the energy that goes inside. It's the energy that comes from the emotions. Because emotions are energy in motion, right? So those emotions then are experienced, and they, again, the body keeps the score. The body keeps the score, which is every cell in your body has a memory. Every cell in your body is linked to a particular pain. It literally remembers everything. So anything that is attracted from the external stimulus that is attracted from the inside of that person is literally, and yeah, you are literally attracting it. I mean, it's not something that you're doing to attract it. I mean, a lot of people say, well, you know, because a person may feel that guilt, they may feel that, you know, like, what am I doing? Why these people feel they can just come violate me, you know what I'm saying, without my permission, or just taking ownership of my being without my permission. Okay, so that's what it is. It's energy transference. That energy is transferred from the abuser to the abusee. You see what I'm saying? Because guess what? There's a 9 out of 10 that person was abused in some way, and they got an energy transfer from another, you know, abuser. So it just keeps traveling. It's an energy that travels.
Like a disease.
Yeah, it is, though. I'm so serious. And you know, the sad part about this is that it takes a great deal of strength, like she says, to not allow it to become putrid, not allow it to put you in a place of enslavement, because it can easily do that. It can easily put you in, like, and you said earlier, you like, well, yeah, then I became a teenage mom, and I don't even understand why I became a teenage mom, even after I've been violated over and over again. So why did I not recognize what I was doing, you know, at that point? But no, but see, think about this. violated early in life, it becomes one of two things. We become promiscuous, you know, because our sexual orientation has been violated early in life, which is that we become like, you know, this is the only way we know how to give love is to use our body. You know, until we become an adult and realize, okay, I don't have to do this to be loved. You know, and then some people don't realize that, and instead this is what they do because they don't know how to express love for the self. They don't have to, like you said, you gotta first acknowledge, okay, I'm worthy. I'm worthy of not, you know, putting myself or allowing this to happen to me over and over again. You see what I'm saying? And you always want that comfort. And that's the inner child. You know what the inner child is. So the inner child constantly wants the comfort of saying the validation, I'm okay, I'm all right, because it never received it. It never received it for long, long periods of time. So that's the inner child that you are still experiencing. So when someone says something and doesn't comfort the inner child, then because the older you has realized that, you know, this is not me. This is not me anymore. Yes, I've been through this, but I made a decision to then finalize it. Like you said, I'm in my healing process. I'm in my healing. It's up to me to heal. No one can heal for me. There's no other person can even understand my healing. You know, and you know, because healing comes with truth. Truth is the one that brings healing. There's no other way. Lies don't bring, they just cover up. But truth is the one that brings healing. Most people don't want to face their own truth.
Yeah.
Because they rather just, you know, let me do like everybody else do, just pretend like it didn't happen. But then they're putrid inside.
Mm.
They start deteriorating. They start to get, you know, and you know, they said, where is it written that I have to be unhappy to make somebody else happy?
Mm.
No, there's no law. There's no law behind that. You know, don't judge my journey if you don't understand my walk. If you don't understand what I've been through, then there's no way that you're going to understand my pain.
Mm.
So for those individuals, let me reassure you today, for those individuals who do not understand your pain, who did not come to your aid, who regardless of their friends, family, foes, it doesn't matter who they are, because they can't see what through your eyes, nor can they walk in your shoes. And because they have not come to the point of accepting the truth of the matter. So guess what? Deep down inside of them, they're still attracting that stuff.
Mm.
They're still attracting not just the abuser, but the ones who are covering up, the ones who are not real, the ones who are not acknowledging. They're still keeping that cycle going, you know, inside of them. So what happens? Even whether they have smaller children or people that they know, everyone can see that. Because one thing about hidden mysteries, that's why I call them hidden, deadly mysteries. One thing about that is whatever's in the dark will come to the light.
Wow.
It may take years for it to come to the light. You know what I'm saying? But one day, before they lay down and take their last breath, trust and believe it will visit them.
Mm. Now, I got a question for Janine.
It's a spiritual thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I got a question for Janine because I know when I think about people who have become widely publicly known, who've written books and told what happened, Oprah Winfrey, Yana Van Zandt, LaToya Jackson, Maya Angelou. I mean, exposing people who violated them in a book where they then become widely known for telling what happened. And it's so liberating for so many others, like Dr. Debbie was saying, who keep it to themselves and don't do anything. It's such a healing process, but it also exposes the people who violated you. So do you foresee anywhere down the future where the ones who are angry and calling you names or anything may have a change of heart, or do you think the more known you become, the more in demand as a speaker you become, the more your book gets distributed all over the place with all their names and what they did in it. Do you think it'll just be the end of your relationship because they can't they can't reconcile what they did or allowed to happen and acknowledge it?
I think it's the end. I think they'll never, because they never did in the first place. It was just me saying, okay, I forgive them. Let's, you know, I miss a family. I want this family that I thought of in my head. There was no account, never any accountability. And when I sit and think about, you know, and I try not to, I don't put anyone down or anything like that, because I do believe people can change, people can grow. But sometimes when you know certain people, you know that they are who they are. And I don't foresee any changes in them, any understanding, any accountability, because like Dr. Debbie said, they're not ready to face their truth. You know, I pray on it, and I hope that they will, so that they can heal and not be so angry. But it's been, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of this, you know. So I don't see them. And like you said, it's revealing them. So they're saying that I'm making them look a certain way.
That's what they look. Mm-hmm.
And I can't make anyone look like anything that they're not.
Ooh.
And even if you look like, even if you claim you look like something 10, 20 years ago, people change and people grow. And you can say, I apologize, that was then, this is now. But you cannot say that, because your behavior and your actions are showing everyone that my book is true.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
You're not doing anything but proving my point. And this is why I say I'm doing it differently now. I don't hate them. I'm not going to fight with them, because they're hurting. And it's not my job to make them say it's time to heal. They have to come to that realization on their own.
Correct.
But
correct.
I'm choosing not to, no matter how they treat me, I'm going to protect my mental and my faith and my peace, and I'm not going to involve myself with them or go around them, or, you know, I'm not going to torture myself and do that, but I'm also not going to hate them. I'm going to pray that someday, somehow, they start to heal on their own, because the things that I see in them and what they're doing, I've done it.
Wow.
So I try not to judge. It's hard when those attacks are being geared towards you, but I just keep telling myself and reminding myself that they're hurting.
Yeah.
They're hurting. And although they're not ready to heal and this is how they deal with it, I dealt with it like that. You know, a lot of people, that's how they deal with it, being angry, because that's the only emotion that they know how to express. That's the only way they know how to deal with things, is by being angry and trying to attack, or, you know, no accountability, putting the blame on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that because I've done it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, I pray for them that they can heal and one day go on a healing journey like myself. Because for so long, I was so put together on the outside trying to hide what was inside. On the outside, you know, I received compliments. Oh, you dress so nice. You're so pretty. You're always so put together, purposely.
Because
if you see that, you won't see how messed up I was on the inside. I was messed up.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put on this front for the outside so that you wouldn't try to see what was inside of me. It was ugly in there.
Wow.
And it's ugly in there for them. So they have to, you know, I had to learn to be gentle with myself. I thought I was damaged. I did nothing wrong, but I grew up thinking that I was damaged. I'm like, no man will ever love me if they knew everything I've been through.
Right.
I told my husband that for a long time. I didn't tell him everything that happened to me, because I still had a fear that if he knew everything, I don't know. And this is what they need to realize, too. When I wrote my book, it's things in there I don't want people to know about me.
Right.
I had to find the courage to write things about myself that I don't want anyone to know about. So if I'm making them look a certain way, I'm also making myself look a certain way. But because I know that's not the same Janine, I'm okay with that. Because I'm growing. And I'm trying to do, I'm doing better for self. And when you know you're doing better for self, you don't mind people knowing the old you. But they're not ready for that, and I cannot force that on them. So I just pray from afar, love from afar, and that's all I can do. But I tell myself and I instill in myself, like, no, you're not going to do what you did 10 years ago. You're not going to react to them. You're not going to go back and forth with them. You're not going to do any of that. It's hard, but I refuse to do that. That's not me anymore. I'm just trying to let their actions take me back to a place I fought so hard to get out of.
Correct. And I'm going to tell you something. The trauma, the rabbit hole is real. That's what you were saying. You know, when you're in the rabbit hole, there's darkness, there's no light, there's no end to pain.
No light.
You know, and when you take your time and you make the steps and you make the program to get out, that means you stay out because you don't let anyone, you know, you don't let anyone take you back into that area, because it's so easy that it can trigger this and trigger that, and because that's what it is. It's a live, breathing situation, but most of all, real. It's an energy. I can't explain it no other way. It's an energy that will constantly stay alive as long as we keep it alive. And so what you're doing, when you put your words, hear me when I say this. When you put your words in that book, that was when everything dismantled. Everything fell to the ground. Everything fell to the ground that was holding you down. All those chains, mentally, emotionally. And, you know, even like I say, you still may even deal with your residue from time to time. Because there is residue behind that. You see what I'm saying? But at the same token, you remind yourself on a regular basis, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? Where am I going? And, you know, you direct yourself, and that's what you've been doing all these years. Yeah. So you took that pain and you turned it into purpose. And that's what people are supposed to do with pain. Now, unfortunately, some people don't do that. And what it does, it stays inside of them, causing sickness. You know, one thing about, I call it a live, breathing lie. Live, breathing, lie. It changes our whole being, especially when truth needs to be revealed and you're still living that lie. And if you look back on some of them, if you knew about them, you might saw some of them are deteriorating physically. You know what I'm saying? If you know what I mean? If you could, because it's inside, it's putrid, it's inside of
like
them.
Something rotting inside them.
Yes, you're walking around decaying, because that energy cannot stay dormant. Yeah. It has to be revealed. It has to be let go. It has to be moved on. And, you know, it's just like holding on to something that's dead, that has no life to it.
Wow.
And you're eating it, and you're just constantly eating, you know. It is surreal. It is surreal. So I'm so happy and most of all so honored to have you in my presence, because your children would not experience that.
And that was my biggest.
To end the cycle. Yes. Dr. Debbie, I have her book up on Amazon in the back room, if you can pull that up on screen. So for those who want to order it on Amazon, there is Janine Bradford Lee, Against All Odds, on sale on Amazon at $14.99. You can go right to that page and order right now. So order your book. Yes.
That's right. And I think this is a very important book for anyone to have, because you never know who's going through what, you know, especially if you have any type of trauma in your life. It doesn't matter what kind of trauma. This is a very empowering book to help individuals that need to close those chapters. And, you know, and move on. They need to close those chapters and move on, because if you keep reliving the same thing over and over again, it'll never die. Because you are the life giver. So we have to be careful what we give life to. So again, so our odds can be purchased at Amazon, and go for it and just get the book. Just great. I mean, just for support, but most of all, just because it's needed information.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
They can also go on my website, justjanine.com as well.
No, it's justjanine.com.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
www.justjanine, J-E-N-N-I-N-E, .com. Yes. Awesome. So let me ask you something. Do you have any future plans? Anything you want to do?
Yes, I plan so because I feel like this. If you want to change something, you have to do something different. And that
right.
This is why I'm choosing to do everything different when dealing with this time around. Because the last time around, I told my story and then I ran. Because of the backlash, I ran and I hid and I allowed them to control my narrative. This go around, I'm controlling my own narrative. I'm going to continue to fight mentally, speak, get my, you know, just help anyone who's going through these things, because I know that, and this is why I'm transparent with my journey, because I want them to see, you know, that, oh, well, most books you read or, you know, most people you encounter and talk to, they say, this is what happened, this is what I did, and I'm fine. So I like to be as raw and transparent as I can with supporters that support me and knowing that that's not the end. That's not how it goes. You know, I'm open about I have to go back to therapy. Like, even right now, I had to realize because of what I was receiving, I had to tell myself, okay, you need to speak to someone because this is affecting you and it's taking you right back down that rabbit hole. And you fought too hard to get out of that.
Right.
So in order for you, you need help. You cannot do everything on your own. And although I feel so much better, that's not the end. You still need, someone professionally to speak to help you with those emotions and those feelings. Because, again, it can easily make you go back down that hole. And we all know sometimes when you go down that hole, it's even harder the second or the third time around trying to get back out of it. So I plan to stay as strong as I can, push through, continue to tell my story to help others, and I'm not going to stop fighting mentally. They're not going to get me to stop fighting mentally.
Absolutely.
I'm going to continue on this journey, not only for myself, but for my children and for other people out there, because it's not talked about enough, and when it's
correct.
Talked about, it's swept under the rug. What goes on in this house stays in this house.
That's
don't
that,
kill
yes.
the business.
So many
times. No, the family business is messing me up.
Yes. That is.
So, no, I want to continue to fight. No.
That's the thing.
Absolutely.
That is happening in so many houses. Just like we were saying earlier, sometimes a holiday like Thanksgiving is such a trigger because you gather together with family and the person who abused you is right there at the table and everybody's acting like nothing happened and you got to face them and live with that and have people not let you acknowledge what happened. There's so many people living that right now.
Right now. I had to sit in this man's face. As a child and as an adult, as a teenager, as an adult, knowing what he did to me, but I had to pretend like nothing happened. That will eat you up.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
And the person knows it, and they cheat with you. Like, they mess with your head.
Yeah, they use it.
Yeah, and this person is still around. This person, I have a nephew. My nephew was a product of this person.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I had a strong relationship with my nephew. He's 19. But at one point I had to tell my sister, are you going to have a conversation with him or would you rather I? Because he needs to know. I don't want him to read this book and say, oh, my gosh, he didn't tell me this.
Right.
He, He's so mature. I had to make sure and remind myself, because you can easily do that, to have some type of feelings towards him, because it will remind you of the person that hurt you.
Oh,
so I had to be conscious enough not to hate my nephew, because for so long I hated his dad.
And that
may sound like a horrible auntie, but I had to definitely be conscious about that. Like, you cannot hate your nephew because you hate his dad.
Right. It wasn't his fault. He wasn't involved.
Yeah. It wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
You know, and he apologized to me. You don't have to apologize, sweetie. You did nothing.
Wow.
But the 19-year-old apologized. I'm sorry that happened to you, auntie. I want to say something to him, but no, don't. You do not get involved.
Let me know if I can help. And that's the whole process, which, you know, she'll be able to explain, of just removing the energy from that past experience.
I was just talking to my husband about that. I said, I don't know if it can be done, but I feel like I need a cleanse.
Yes.
It can.
Yes.
That is so crazy.
I just told him that. I said, I don't know how to go about it, but I really feel like I need a cleanse.
Cleanse, yes. It can be done, yes. And I have, and Dr. Debbie, during the break, if you want to pull up the screen, I have a backstage of Janine's website for people who want to see that as well.
Thank you.
We will go to a break and be right back.
We will definitely give you Jody's number so she can help you, because she's good at what she does.
Thank you.
Wow. All right.
The universe knows what you need. God knows what you need.
All the time.
God knows. He's right on time.
All the time.
Yeah, always.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, I'm Jody Susan of Susan Essentials. I started Susan Essentials in 2015 because of a personal health journey. I was over-medicated and put on 19 different medications. And yes, I reversed all my chronic diseases using plant and energy-based healing. It was amazing. At Susan Essentials, we support both consumers and businesses. And we do that with helping your employees or yourself with a food as medicine mindset. How Susan Essentials supports businesses and consumers is we teach people about a food as medicine mindset. So we support people on how to support their own immune system, how to support their brain health, how to support their emotional well-being. And we do that all with plant and an energy-based healing.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Some time to do something to heal that inner person.
But that inner person can only be healed by our ability to heal it.
I have a question, because I know a lot of times.
I saw that look.
You know, when I think of
it gets a look with people.
It's a thinking look,
like. Yeah, you know, so many people who have gone through abuse, they don't have the ability to trust in an intimate relationship. How did you find your husband and get to a point where you could trust him? Enough
to end up as your husband.
That was hard, guys.
Mm. Like, sometimes I ask someone, you stuck it out because he received all that anger, that treatment. Oh, he received so much from me, like, unintentionally. Like, I didn't even know I was giving it all, but I was guarded for so long from my own husband. Mm. He's like, Janine, I need to take that wall down. But because of what I went through, yeah, I love you, but this wall is still up. Because I loved a lot of people that hurt me.
Yeah.
So I was so guarded for so long. Like, I married my husband guarded.
Mm.
And that took a lot for me to come to terms with and to be honest with him. And he's like, I know. Like, he saw things in me that I didn't see. And for so long, I'm telling myself, like, this is your husband. Like, how are you guarded with your husband? How are you supposed to feel? Like, but in my mind, and this is how I knew that, okay, I need help because I'm married to this man. He's a great man, but yet and still I'm guarded. Yet and still I'm unintentionally blaming him for things that happened to me in my childhood because I have to blame someone. And 9 times out of 10, most of the time you blame who's there.
Yeah.
The person who's there gets all the flack, even if they didn't.
Displays anger.
Yeah, I had so much of it. And he helped me work through it. Like, that man is a blessing.
Wow.
A blessing. And when
I started to
self-care and self-love, because I didn't love myself. Like, I didn't love myself, and when I started to do that, you can't even really see the love that others have for you when you don't love yourself.
Wow.
He spoke so highly of me, and I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you see? Like, I don't see what you see, but that's because of me. It was me. He can love me to infinity and beyond, but that was nothing because I didn't love myself. So I was not even... as crazy as it may sound, yes, I was married. I'm in this marriage. But I'm not loving myself, and I'm guarded from my husband.
Mm.
He's putting so much. He's filling my cup up.
Don't do this to me again. Well, we are... hold on one moment. We'll be right back for those listening in. I lost our video connection. Hold on. We'll be right back. Bring it up. Okay. And let us continue with our Facebook. There we go. All right.
What was really happening during that period of time? Like, what were the causes and the cause and effects of the cycling
of what went down in a sexual way? Because I would feel guilty a lot. He was more understanding than I was. So for a long time I had to fight with that. Not only that sexual aspect, but mentally, like, I can tell that my marriage could be so much more once I get through and receive the help that I need. But I know I had to do it for self first in order to do it. I cannot love him like I needed to love him or like he needs to love me without loving myself first. So when I noticed that and I was honest with him, see, I because of what happened and because sometimes I still felt like I was damaged, I didn't tell him everything.
Right.
So a lot of people didn't know. But when I told him, he put it together. Okay, that's why you did this. A, B, Y, Z, like... it all came together from him. He was so understanding.
Yeah, because he looked at you in a pure state. He didn't look at you as damaged goods. the reason why he was able to see past all the pain, and you know, and God gave him a presence of patience with you so that he could see that. Yeah, he had to have patience. But, you know, yeah, that's what love do. Love is patient, and love is what? Kind. You see what I'm saying? Love is long-suffering. Yeah. So, you know, that was the God in him that you attracted. God gave you a male component to love you. He said, well, all these other people, you know, are not expressing the love. But that's all you really wanted. You wanted someone to love you for who you are. Yes. You know, to where you take knowledge that, you know, that, oh, I'm not this person, this or whatever. I'm not focused on or damaged, but just focus on Janine. And that's exactly, you know, what it was. And so Janine, that's how she did it. That's how you did it, to come out of where you was. You couldn't focus on the damaged part of Janine. You had to focus on the healing part. And that took, like you say, switching the suits, you know, because I got different techniques I help people with to understand how do you develop a self-compassionate mentality for yourself. You know what I'm saying? You have to switch the suits. When you're going through a lot of changes and you don't understand why those changes are there, and you may feel angry one minute, sadness the other, guilt this one. You know, you may go through all of these emotions, but it's all right to feel them. You feel it, you release, and you let it go, because these are the things that's going through your body just like waves in the ocean. They come and they go. They come and they go. And as they're doing this, then you get the pattern. The pattern is just what it is. You don't become it. You feel it and you move on from it. You take from it the strength that you need for the next time. Yes. You know what I'm saying? For the next time.
And that was one of the hardest things. Actually sit in it and allowing yourself to feel it.
Yes.
Because you don't want to feel it. But actually allowing yourself to feel those emotions, yes. It was the hardest thing to do, but it was necessary, and it helped a lot.
But that's the only way we can heal. We cannot heal when we ignore our pain.
Yeah.
Whether it's mental, emotional, physical, whatever. When you ignore pain, pain just gets stronger.
Yes.
That's all it does. And one thing about emotional and mental pain, it is not a pill for that. You know, if you got pain in your body, you can take a pill and, you know, the pain will subside. But emotional or mental pill, there's no psychotropic medication for pain of that magnitude. That comes with an awareness that, okay, what am I going to do about this situation? Because if I don't, you know, that's why psychotherapy, and if you need management, is so, you got to have both if that's what you need. Some people can do it with straight psychotherapy and not need anything when it comes to a traumatic situation. But some people need that edge off. They need that edge to the point where let me take that off of you so you can sleep, so you can rest. You know, because one thing about trauma, it does disturb the ADLs. It affects your activity of daily living. You know, it can affect the way you eat. It can affect the way you sleep. It can affect the way you communicate with other people. Because remember, this is the injured part of us. You see what I'm saying? And that injury becomes a reality if you're not careful.
Yes.
You know, you have to say, okay, what's the difference? And, you know, I always, when I'm talking to people and helping them to heal, I ask them, okay, do you know the difference between the person that's injured and the person that's really free?
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between those two. And you're like, they said, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. I said, well, the one that's injured is linked to the inner child.
Mm-hmm.
It's linked to the inner child that's been injured. The one that's free is the one that's going to free the inner child that's injured.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Once they realize the two different parts right there, that's when everything then changes. It changes. Now you're not that broken piece anymore.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it changes, and it's so free. Freedom is really free.
It feels so good.
Yes, it is. It's like a refreshing, cool shower on a hot summer day. It is so for real. And, you know, I'm speaking to everyone because I know this airs on Facebook, and I hope and pray that somebody just, you know, scrolls down and just really allows yourself to just look at this thing. Listen to this broadcast. Listen to this podcast. And if you are in any area of your life where you feel you've been injured, if you feel you are still dealing with a trauma, if you feel you, some things have to be finalized. And I know, like I said, we get diagnoses from major depression to PTSD to all of these other things. Okay, that's just on paper. I'm talking about what's really going on inside of you. When you make a conscious decision to not just cope, but to conquer whatever is holding you down, then that's when everything changes. Don't be afraid to feel your pain and close this door. Don't be afraid to allow and face your fears, because when your fear is linked to your pain. That's how it breathes. That's how it stays active. But use the strength that the Creator gave you, your inner power, your higher source, whatever you want to call it. You know, use it because it's inside. It's not outside of you. You know, we look for the outside things to make things better on the inside. But what we find out, there's nothing can do that. There's nothing can do that until we say enough is enough. We draw that property line. And we say, okay, how long have I been dealing with this? Oh, my God, it's been 15 years, 20 years.
But what we do know is this. We will make a decision today. And I say, now I compare Janine, like, filling the house. Let me say this because I got a few more minutes now. I want you to say your last words. Like filling the house. Building a house takes a foundation. You cannot build a house on nothing at all. You got to lay a foundation. That foundation has to be something strong enough to hold the rest of what you're putting on top of it. Okay? So the foundation is inside of you. It is the power of pause, the power of initiative, the power of purpose, the power of destiny, the power of choice, the power, all your power sources that you use every single day just to get up and feed at this speed so it continues to move. You know, if you're hungry, you're going to get yourself food. If you're thirsty, you're going to drink. You know, all of these things that we deal with on a regular basis, we can do everything for this single person. But the goal is, what are you going to do for your inner man? Your inner man needs to be fed, too. It needs to show its love. It needs to be given what it needs so that it can continue to have this journey in life that is productive, that's useful, that's joyful. The worst thing in the world is to walk around on this earth and die.
Yes. You've got a caller.
That's the worst thing. It's not the death of the
thing.
The dying side. Okay, let's take it real quick.
You had a caller. Let's see. Area code 773-450. You got a comment? Your mic is open, 773-450. You had a hand raised.
Good morning. How are you all? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Wonderful show. You know what I find is so interesting about relationships? There's two things that always exist. It should be an individual that has balance within themselves before they get balanced with anybody, because you are not, you know, two people shouldn't be together leaning on each other, pushing somebody down. It takes a whole person within themselves that's balanced to get with someone else. And the reason I say that in particular is because when you get with somebody and you improve them and make them better, then they will be more desirable to others around them, which comes naturally. No one should be jealous of it. It should be automatic. Matter of fact, you should be glad that people are actually more attracted to you because of what you've added to their life. But the last piece in society that's interesting to me is always the mistaken thought that this one individual takes in everything that you need in life. That really is never true. You need everybody in your life, a whole bunch of people just to make you get through, even people that you just helped who can help develop you be better. You're not going to be limited to this individual. So it's important for people to know that we all belong connected together, and then you own no one. So that way you don't mind if your best lover or whoever it is, your mate, is talking to somebody because they are taken over the top by what your mate knows. You would step back and let your mate give them all they can. You don't have to be jealous of that. I find a lot of that happens in relationships. And that's just insecure. Why should you be afraid of somebody liking somebody you like? You like them, other people automatically like them. Appreciate it, but people should get strong enough to know. They don't have to run. They can actually handle it, yeah.
Well, thanks for that comment. We appreciate it. Thanks so much. I know Dr. Debbie's got to wrap up, and I wanted to make sure people are reminded I'm giving you a title, Dr. Janine. I'm getting ready to call you. I want to make sure people know where to go on her. Yeah, there you go. You have earned that.
Thank you.
So,
speak on the universe, honey.
That's right.
Thank you. Oh, I perceive it.
Absolutely. So for those wanting to order the autograph copy from her website, her name is spelled JenNine. So that's justjenine.com. JustJennine.
I have it in the comment section.
Yes.
Thank you. I have it in the comment section, so you can go back to the comment section and definitely reach out and get the book. And read the book. It's going to bless you. Absolutely, absolutely. I was going to say, too, it's going to take me a second to say this. Build your foundation of love for yourself. Your foundation of love is going to be the one that is going to heal you from all traumas, all unsettlements in your life. And know that you cannot allow yourself to continue to read the things over and over again and cycle over and over again. Okay, that life has already ended. So create another life for yourself of joy, peace, and happiness. You are the creator. You are the shot caller. You are the person that can do this. Don't be afraid. You don't need anyone else. Give yourself permission to be free today. Do you have any final comments, Janine? Yes, I just want to thank you guys for having me and just tell everyone, just choose you. Your past does not define you. It does not have to define you. I struggled with that for so long, but your past does not define you. Choose you, and if you are choosing you, continue to choose you. It may be hard sometimes, but allow yourself to feel that pain so that you can heal. I always say healing requires hard work. Time does not heal all wounds. You have to put in the work and just surround yourself with a good support system.
Wise words.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's it. So that being said, thank you, Facebook. Thank you, YouTube. Again, you know, share and subscribe. Let us know how you feel. Any comments, any topic information that you may want us to talk about, put it in the comments section because we do go back and look. We want to be able to bring healing to the world because we know that right now the world needs healing. We all need to be healed from something and continue to heal. So, again, thank you so much, Naeem. As always, you know, you are just such a bright light. The Female Solution, when I mean, it hasn't been 2 years. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a while.
Yeah. It's been a while.
So thank you so much for allowing us to have a stage present and have the opportunity to help somebody.
Well, we thank you for the work that you do, and that's what we do. We're here to change the world, so thank you for being a part of that transformation.
Absolutely. We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kunyong, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jared, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakor, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.